I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Can the U.S. ever fix its messed up maternity leave system? Claire Suddeth, a staff writer for Bloomberg Business, has written this article. It's a lengthy one, and it's timely. She was also a writer for Time Magazine and has worked for many other publications. We're asking the question this hour, why it is that the United States really is alone when it comes to developed countries not offering paid maternity leave. How would the act that is before Congress and has been stalled play out in this country? And asking you, do you agree with the president's call for paid maternity leave? We will be welcoming phone calls. We always do that. 800-486-8655 is our number. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Twitter is @KDunnShow. All of that is open for you. Our guest talks in the article about the number of women who are in the workforce now, and it's almost two-thirds of women with children under the age of six work. It's twice the rate of the previous generation. And unless you work for a company that voluntarily offers it, or in one of three states, paid maternity leave does not exist in the United States. We have the Family and Medical Leave Act. It grants up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave every year, but it applies only to full-time workers at companies with 50 or more employees. So why don't we? Should we? How would it be put into effect? We're going to talk about all of that this hour of the program with our guest, and welcome all of your phone calls as well. It seems like it's an issue that's being discussed for a long, long time. Claire, thank you so much for being with us and for the most informative article.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Let's talk about the fact that the United States is among two countries, I guess, in the world that don't have paid maternity leave. Papua New Guinea is the other. Why is it that we just don't offer this and everybody else does?
You know, I think that's a good question, and that is the one that a lot of people are wondering about. But, you know, right now what we have with the Family Medical and Leave Act, which is unpaid leave, we only got that in 1993, and a lot of these countries have had policies, you know, dating back, you know, after World War II, a couple even before then. So this is just something that we have been a little bit behind on. It's something that I think wasn't a high priority for a very long time, and especially in previous generations when fewer women worked or they worked in more part-time jobs, this wasn't something that we felt as a country that we even needed. That now is not so much the case. You know, most new mothers are in their 20s and 30s, and they've grown up assuming that they would have careers, and they do. And then when they start to have children, unless they're lucky enough to work for a company that offers it, you know, they sort of are shocked by what they do not have.
Mm-hmm. And that's, as you say in the article, when the wage gap begins as well, that women start pretty much the same, but as soon as they start having children, then we start seeing a change in how much they're paid.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting, and there are a couple of other factors. It's not just maternity leave, but when you look at sort of the pay gap between men and women, when you're coming right out of college, there is still a very small discrepancy, but it's basically non-existent. But then once they start hitting sort of the childbearing years, I guess you could say, that's when it really starts to grow. And part of that, it really starts with maternity leave, and then it changes as families start to assess the cost of daycare. Maybe it wouldn't be worthwhile for both of them to work if daycare is so expensive. I talked to a number of women who, you know, these are college-educated women with full-time jobs. One was an electrical engineer, actually, and she ended up quitting her job because what she pulled in was not enough to sort of fund daycare for her three children.
It's just incredible how expensive it is. Incredible. So is part I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think it is. And that's something that I think women are surprised by. And, you know, for this woman specifically, she lived in Utah, and she was looking at, she didn't get maternity leave for her third child because she'd already dropped down to part-time to sort of offset these costs. And she was thinking, okay, well, I would then have three kids at home working without maternity leave. And she just decided it wasn't worth it.
Right. The stories that you tell are pretty amazing because you read them and you think, well, wait a second, this shouldn't happen. So let's hear some of those stories. Letitia Kamir or Kamire, I don't know how you pronounce it. Tell us about her story because you think, oh my goodness, this shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, well, hers was really fascinating. You know, she had just started a new job, and it was a job at like a tool and die manufacturer outside of Boston. And they had her on a 90-day probation period that they have all new employees on. And according to her, things were going fine. And then she told them that she was pregnant because she had just found out. And then a few weeks later, she was let go. And, you know, the company said it was a reorganization move, and I talked to them, and they said that her pregnancy had nothing to do with their decision to let her go. But she doesn't feel that way. She says she could never prove anything, but it just seemed strange to her.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, you know, she found another job pretty quickly. And she got hired, and everything was great, except that because she was a new employee, she didn't yet qualify for their short-term disability insurance that they use because they don't have maternity leave, which is fairly common. Oftentimes, in order to grant women maternity leave, companies will put them on their disability insurance. And so instead, because she was so new, she had to use up her sick days and vacation time, and she's married and her husband works, and so they just relied on his salary and put what they could on credit cards. They stopped saving. They stopped going out to dinner. She told me they drove as little as possible to save on gas. You know, she went back, I think, after 9 weeks, which is when daycare centers where she lived would start taking children because they wouldn't take them younger than that because they were unvaccinated.
Tell me the Family Act, where it stands right now, and what's involved in that. How would it help the woman who you just described, or all women who are taking time off to have a child?
Yeah, so for the most part, you know, there, I think, is increasing sort of outcry and discussion about this, but there hasn't been very much movement in Washington, although in 2013, I think it was Senator Kirsten Gillibrand in New York introduced legislation called the Family Act that would provide 3 months of paid leave at partial pay, so you'd get about two-thirds of your salary. And it has been stalled in Congress for more than a year. They haven't taken it up to even debate it. But in theory, it would be paid through a payroll tax on employers and employees of, I think it's like 0.2%. It's less than 1%. And it would be run through the Social Security Administration, and it would provide a pot of money from which people could draw when they went on parental leave. It would be for women and men as well, which mm-hmm. I think is important to note, because when you pass laws, if you specify that it is for women, then it makes employers think about them differently when they're hiring them. If you have, you know, one employee and you know that if you hire her, she may have to, you know, she would be granted this time off versus another employee. So by making the law gender neutral, it sort of negates that a little bit. Of course, women are the ones who generally go out on leave, so it's not perfect. But
right. Senator Gillibrand granted an interview to the guest we just had on last hour, and it was her belief that part of the problem here is that members of Congress are older and they tend to be 80% male, so it's an issue that they just don't get because they haven't lived it.
Yeah, that's what she told me. You know, she said it's just something that they don't think is a high priority. It's interesting because there is wide support when you poll voters. Democrats and Republicans both like widely support this, which is rare on an issue. Even Republicans, I think it's close to about 70% of Republicans and 80-something percent of Democrats. So there's something that clearly Washington could move on, but it's just not a high priority for them. I don't think they quite understand the situation that most new parents find themselves in.
Tell me about countries in the world, and you may want to start with Sweden. They do have some problems, which you did outline, but when you look at paid maternity leave, they are the gold standard. Is it fair to say that?
Yeah, definitely. Sweden is the country that everyone looks to and wishes that they could be. They grant, I believe it is 16 months total to new parents. Two of those months they specify have to be used by the men to encourage them to actually take time off, but the rest can be split however they want. Women take the majority of it usually, but it can be divided up anyway. And they can take it up until the child is 8, so you don't even have to take it right away. And this is for every single kid that you have. So if you have more than one kid, you get another 16 months. And it's interesting because I think they get about 80% of their paycheck, and it's paid through the government. But they have much higher taxes than we do. And this sounds great, and I talked to some women in Sweden who have done this, and they say, you know, we're aware that we have it better than pretty much any other country. But you also have to realize that if you are a woman and you want a career, you're taking a year off of work every single time you have a child, for the most part. And no matter what you do about that, when you take that much time off, you end up advancing at a much slower pace. Mm-hmm. One of the women that I talked to said she just knows that the way that it works for her, she would be promoted probably about 3 years after a male colleague, just because that's how the system works. It's not perfect.
Yeah, you also report that men still make about 35% more than women. That's
yeah,
a lot.
They do. Yeah, and I mean, that's sort of when you just look at, it's not divided into, the types of jobs and everything like that, but because men can advance quicker and because they can continue to work full time, in general, they make about a third more than women.
We're going to welcome phone calls, and we'll take them momentarily. We put this question on our Facebook page, and we have lots and lots of responses to it, so we'll get to those right off the bat. The question is whether or not the U.S. should have a paid maternity leave system. It's a bill that has been stalled in Congress for the past year. The president said during his State of the Union address that it's time for Congress to address this issue. Would you agree that it's time for this country to address this issue? Do we need paid maternity leave in this country? How should we pay for it? Why haven't we paid for it? Our phone number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, @KDunnShow. Claire Suddeth is our guest. Her article is, Can the U.S. Ever Fix Its Messed Up Maternity Leave System? She writes this for Bloomberg Business. What do you think? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're welcoming phone calls. The question of the hour is, do you agree with the president's call for paid maternity leave in this country? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk@wpr.org. Let's go to one of many Facebook comments. Tony writes, I support a woman having as much time off as she feels she needs during and after pregnancy, or a man to tend to his pregnant wife and newborn, but I don't think an employer should be required to pay for it. That absence often does impact business operationally and financially. I don't think it's unreasonable to ask a business to shoulder that burden, but they should not be required to pay for that time in salary or in wages. What do you think? Claire?
Well, I think that is something that actually people argue about a lot. I think the one way to look at it is to see what happened in California. They were the first state to pass a parental leave law, which went into effect in 2004. And before it passed, it was vehemently opposed by manufacturing and small business associations, who said both that it would be too expensive and then also just too difficult for very small companies to handle someone's absence. The law in California is 6 weeks of leave at, I think, a little bit over half your paycheck. And so to get it passed, they decided that they would fund it by taxing people's paychecks and not taxing businesses. So it would come out of whatever it is that you are making yourself. And it seemed to have worked. I think about 91% of California businesses who were surveyed several years after the law went into effect said that it either helped or had no effect on how profitable they were. And there hasn't been much of a backlash since the law has passed. Everyone seems to have sort of adjusted to it just fine. And so that is one possibility. The Family Act, which is, sitting before Congress right now, which they haven't picked up, but currently it would tax businesses as well as people's paychecks. And, you know, I think if they did debate it, that would probably be a point of contention because it seems to have been in states in the past. But there does seem to be a way to do that without actually putting the burden too much on businesses. But also then, if you're not going to do that, then the option is to just tax people's paychecks, which means what you're taking out would be higher for individual people, which also may be something we would want to look at as well, and whether that is beneficial.
Mm-hmm. You wonder why it is that people just haven't sat down and talked to new mothers and fathers about what this experience is, because if you have a child, you know that even 2 months, it's hard to go back to work after 2 months. I mean, you're exhausted and you're worried about this little being you've just brought into the world. You want to be with him or her, and instead of doing daycare that early, which so many parents have to do. And having children is a good thing for our society, so our society can continue, right? It's as though people haven't spoken to all those people, and it includes almost everybody, who have had the experience.
Yeah, you know, I think there are a lot of reasons for that. One of them seems to be that there is with many women just sort of this resignation that this is how it is.
Right.
You know, when you have a kid, you are tired and you have to use up your vacation time and you have to use up your 6 days and you have to go back to work after, you know, 6 weeks or 2 months or 3 months or something like that. And you are partially paid or not paid at all. And this is just what is available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that many women that I talked to had really thought too much about it in terms of what could have been available to them until, you know, they started looking into this later. And so I think when you're actually going through it, you just sort of make do with what you have. But there is, I think, a growing movement of people who have sort of woken up to this because I think they thought things would be different. And there seems to be much more of an outcry. I talked to a lot of paid leave advocates who have been working on this issue for decades, and they said that they used to feel very marginalized, and now it seems like people are taking their concerns much more seriously, and it has become much more of a mainstream topic than it was even just 10 years ago.
So do you imagine, Claire, that it's going to be a big issue in the next presidential campaign?
I do. I think this will definitely be talked about. You know, candidates usually get asked about this. Hillary Clinton was asked, I think, in June in a town hall meeting hosted by CNN what she thought about all of this, and she said that she definitely supports paid leave, but she also admitted that this is just not something that Washington was going to take up right now or pass anytime soon. But she was asked about this, and I do think that we will hear talk about this during the next election, whether or not we've gotten to the point where there will actually be any sort of change. I don't know. I sort of get the feeling that it's going to take a bit longer than that, maybe within the next 10 years, 5-10 years, but certainly I don't think within the next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama came out and said that he would ask Congress for about $2 billion to help states fund their own or start up their own paid leave programs, which is great, and it made the news, but he has been pushing for something like this since he became president. Essentially, this was part of his, 2007 campaign. And the problem is that he puts it in his budget requests usually, and it gets taken out again and again.
Really?
So I think now he has made a much more overt push, and there was much more press, and the number that he asked for with the $2 billion is much larger than previous requests. But I would be very surprised if it actually happened.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned some companies, Goldman Sachs, General Electric, among others, that do have fairly generous, considering what's available to everybody else, paid maternity programs. What are their programs, and why have some companies decided to offer this?
Well, I'll start by saying that about 12% of all workers in the U.S. have any sort of access to paid leave. That's paid. About half of people get unpaid leave. And that is any sort of paid leave. So if you are sick or you need to take care of a family member, the way the government tracks it, maternity and parental leave falls into that category. When you look at who actually gets that, it makes a lot of sense. Waitresses and sale clerks almost never get it. Only 6% of any service workers get anything at all. So most of the people who do get it work for larger companies because they can, one, afford it, and two, they realize that if they offer this, this is something their employees really need, and it helps them recruit the best employees. It helps retain them. So Goldman Sachs, for example, offers 4 paid months. Facebook and Google are really interesting. A lot of Silicon Valley companies, they have incredibly generous policies that offer multiple months fully paid to both new mothers and fathers and adoptive parents and same-sex parents and everything like that. Google, actually, I think they offer 5 for mothers now, and maybe 3 or 4 for fathers and other parents. But they actually upped their policy a few years ago because when they looked at the people who were actually leaving Google and quitting their jobs, they noticed that a lot of them were new mothers.
Oh.
So they added a few more months, and they offered full pay. Before then, they had partial pay. And the number of new mothers who left the company actually dropped by half.
Oh, my goodness. Amazing.
Yeah. So, this is, they did this because they realized we want to keep these people. They're good for us. And so we need to offer this to give them incentive to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So Silicon Valley actually is quite progressive with all of this. Most larger companies, older companies offer something. And it's really the small companies startups or independently owned businesses that oftentimes don't offer things.
We certainly welcome your phone calls on this issue, and let me tell you again how you can reach us. We're asking whether or not you think that it's time for the country to have paid maternity leave. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Claire Suddeth, and she has written a very involved, lengthy, important article, Can the U.S. Ever Fix Its Messed Up Maternity Leave System? She writes for Bloomberg, and I'm sure many of you listening have had experience with all this. If you had a child recently or not so recently, and what kind of system was in operation for you? How did you make ends meet? Did you work for a company that offered paid leave? How generous was that company? Should all companies have this? How should we pay for it? We certainly welcome your thoughts on the issue. Again, our number is 800-486-8655. On Facebook, Sarah writes, as a 40-plus week pregnant lady battling for the right to miss work days after going over my due date, yes, it's time. Welcome to Contemporary Policies on Families USA. Do we always have to do everything after the rest of the developed world has already done it? Claire.
Well, that is, I mean, I think that's the question that everyone is asking. And that's certainly what Senator Gillibrand is pushing for, is to have a change. And I think, interestingly, since California was the first state in 2004, two other states have followed, and a couple other states have sort of written their own laws around this to add maternity leave to their disability laws. So you could get disability pay in New York, for example, although they don't necessarily have an actual paid leave law. And so it seems to be going state by state, but it's really slow. Washington State actually passed something, I think, in maybe 2007, but they neglected to actually fund it. So right now they have a law in name only. And I think the last I read, they are going to try to fund it this year, but I don't believe that that has actually happened yet. So it's happening like so many issues state by state. And there seems to be, you know, some sort of discussion in Congress that maybe we will actually pick this up, but I'm not sure when that will actually happen.
Yeah. Let's go to Chris, our first caller. Hi, Chris.
Yes.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Hi. Well, I was just listening to your show, and I was thinking about, you know, I'm a professional. My wife and I are both professionals. We have three children, and I have a 2.5-year-old and my youngest, and she was able to take time off unpaid. So we were really fortunate to be able to do that. But, you know, a lot of people are lucky to even get a couple of weeks of vacation for any reason, let alone for, you know, to stay home with a child. And I just because we're such a, it seems to me that we're such a work-centered society that we identify ourselves as producers and workers and hard workers. And it just, I can't even imagine that we would ever be to a point where we would allow someone to take a year off to be home with their child.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true, don't you, Claire? We do value work in this country. You're a worker, and that should be front and center. And yet there are times in your life where you need to be a parent, or you need to be a daughter or a son to take care of your parents.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would support the idea. I think it's great. I just can't imagine that we would ever get to that point. And I remember when I was younger, I'm 44, I remember the Family Medical Leave Act, and I just remember it being very controversial. And it seemed to me like even at that time that President Clinton had to give up some pretty good concessions in order to get that, and that people were just, you know, amazed that that happened.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do in your family when you had to do unpaid leave, Chris? What kind of financial burden was that for you?
Well, we didn't take the full amount of time that we were able to take, basically, is what it came down to. We took what we thought we could afford, but we weren't able to take the full 12 weeks, either one of us.
Right.
My wife took a few weeks off, and then I took a few weeks off so that we were able to have the child home for as long as we could afford to before
right.
we had to go back to work.
Yes. Claire.
Well, it's interesting, too, because, you know, there have been some studies, because California's law is the one that's been around the longest. Most of the studies focus around them. But it looks at, you know, people who took leave or didn't take leave before it was passed. And, you know, the people who struggle the most with this are usually in low-wage positions where either they don't have any time off, or if they do, they can't afford to actually take it because it's unpaid. And when California put its law into effect, and then they looked at people, you know, 10 years out, women were staying in their jobs longer. They tended to, when you surveyed them a year after they had their child, they tended to have slightly higher wages. And also, there have been a lot of studies about the health benefits to children of when their parents have parental leave. They get taken to the doctor for checkups more. They generally are breastfed longer, which also has health benefits. So, you know, it's not just an issue of whether or not we feel like the American workforce can take time off, you know, it's not really a vacation. There are all these other benefits that actually make a much more healthier society than just whether or not a business can afford to pay for someone being off.
Thank you so much, Chris, for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah. Kathy in Chicago. Hi.
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 I wanted to call because when I had my children, I worked for AT&T, and in 79 and 83 were the years I had them. I was allowed a full 6 months off and a year with my daughter.
Really?
Yes. And it was very nice, and I think the world would be a better place. All children could have their parents home with them, or at least one parent for a year. And I fully support, you know, doing 6 months pay. Our European countries have really got this and are much more generous than we are in the U.S. But I was really upset recently. My daughter was able to stay home with her first son, and for 1 year, that child had no illnesses. He, you know, to go a whole year without having to have a doctor's visit for ear infection or whatever, he just didn't have it. Now she was working, and she asked for 12 weeks off, and I said, you know, they couldn't afford it, but I said, I will pay your wages. Just ask for 6 months off. And she did, but they said, absolutely not. We can't let you have more than 12 weeks. And her doctor was saying that they would put her on bed rest towards the end of her pregnancy. And she said, please don't do that. I'll take it easy at work, because I could not believe this. And I even called an Iowa government office to make sure this was true. But if you get put on bed rest for 8 weeks, that comes off your 12-week FMLA.
Ooh.
And she would only have 4 weeks with her baby before she had to return to work, which I... When I talked to the woman at the government office, she said, that's true. She says, in fact, I myself was pregnant with twins. They put me on 8 weeks bed rest, and I had to beg for 2 extra weeks to just come back at 6 weeks when my doctor would approve me to come back. This is ridiculous.
Claire?
Yeah, that's because FMLA is you get 12 weeks of unpaid leave for any number of reasons, and it doesn't specify maternity leave. It's included, but, you know, a bed rest would be a medical necessity, and that is part of your 12 weeks that you get, and then you would use the rest of it for the maternity leave, and that's just the way the law works. So if you work for a company that won't bend on that and won't give you more time off, that's what happens to women. And I will say also in my article and the women that I've talked to, you know, all of this necessitates that you have a healthy pregnancy, that your baby doesn't have complications.
Right.
You know, I talked to a lot of women who worked in sort of seasonal careers, I guess you could say. I talked to some professors who, so they get their summers off, and they would try to plan having their children during the summer. But you can't always plan perfectly. So sometimes that would work, sometimes that wouldn't work. And so there are all these sorts of workarounds that people are having to come up with to sort of, you know, game what system we do have right now.
Would you say the situation Kathy described at AT&T in 79 and 83 was just highly exceptional, or were more companies offering Claire that kind of time off for maternity leave?
Honestly, in the reporting that I have done, that sounds highly exceptional. I don't know of a company that offers paid 1 year, full year of leave. I know several companies, actually a lot of them, will pay you, you know, X percent for however many months they offer, 3 months, 4 months or something, and you can have the option to take time off much longer than that, and it would be unpaid, which is sort of how they offer it to you. And you usually run through your vacation time and that sort of stuff. So I talked to one woman who is an attorney in San Francisco, and her maternity leave, if you just look at the number of months she took off, she got 6 months, but 3 of those months were paid. Because she was in San Francisco, she got you know, California's paid leave as well. And then she used up all of her, you know, vacation sick days just cobbled it together. And she worked for a place that had a quite generous policy, and that's how she worked it.
Tom on Facebook says this is a solution to the wrong issue. The real issue, he says, is we should be working to solve how we can make it affordable for families to make it on a single income, which seems to be virtually impossible these days. Long term, we will be much better off as a society. I can't see that happening. Can you, Claire?
No.
No.
No, and I also think that, I mean, that may be nice, but I think women want to have careers. So if you're saying that the solution is that we should have it so that families can afford to live off of one salary, I don't see how that is necessarily going to be a solution. What if it's the woman who has the salary?
Mm-hmm.
But she will still be the one having the kids, so she would still need the time off.
Right. Kathy, thank you so much for your call, and we'll take more of them in just one moment. We're talking about paid maternity leave, a bill that would offer that in this country has been stalled. The president, during his State of the Union address, called for Congress to take up the bill. What do you think? Is it time for paid maternity leave in America? Our guest has written a very detailed article and interesting in Business Week, and she is Claire Seddeth, and the article is titled, Can the U.S. Ever Fix Its Messed Up Maternity Leave System? This is in Bloomberg Business, and a copy of the article is on our Facebook page, along with many, many comments and people responding to other people's comments on our Facebook page, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Call us at 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook page The Kathleen Dunn Show, Twitter at K Dunn Show. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow on our program during this hour, we will look at the anti-vaccine movement, the growing number of cases of preventable infectious disease outbreaks, and what can be done about it. That's tomorrow during this hour. And we're talking about paid maternity leave this hour and welcoming your phone calls. Carla in La Crosse is our next caller. Hello, Carla.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi.
Claire.
Yeah,
Claire.
Hi.
Yeah, well, I had my daughter over 30 years ago, and I had a condition where she was she ended up being delivered 2 months early.
Mm.
And so I was off. She was in the hospital for over 30 days. I was off a total of 8 weeks using all my sick vacation and sick leave. And I had her home for, I think, about 3 weeks.
Oh.
And I had to go back to work.
Oh.
And at that time, my insurance paid for everything. Well, and I couldn't breastfeed because I didn't have enough time to establish a routine.
Mm.
So I think we would have bonded better. I would have been able to breastfeed. I had to get back to work because I was the major breadwinner.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, at that time, I had insurance that paid for all of my stay. And nowadays, many insurances are requesting, you know, you have deductibles with that. So people have to go back to work to pay their deductibles off just for having it. So I think it would be really wonderful for parents to be able to have that as an option. I think children are a wonderful investment.
They are, aren't they? They definitely are. Claire.
I definitely agree. You know, I think everyone's situation is different. And, you know, there are people in this country who work for places or live in places that offer leave, and they are happy with what they got. I talked to them as well. This isn't bad for everyone, but because everyone is different and people have different medical needs, you know, both the child and the mother, and, you know, you also, I think, really need to factor in the father, too. There is a, I think, growing awareness of the fact that new fathers need time off, which is very good, because also if you think about it, if both parents work and then you only give time off to one of them, even when she goes back to work at home, she will have been doing most of the stuff for the past few months. And so it will help with just sort of the balance of family dynamics when men get time off and they also get time to adjust to the new baby. And, you know, different people are offered different things. And it's really hard for pretty much everyone.
Thank you, Carla, so much for your call. Marilyn in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to point out a different angle that I haven't heard yet, and that is not every business is a huge business. And if a woman takes time off for maternity leave, sometimes the people at work have to pick up the slack, and nobody wants to do that because we all are busy enough. So even the women at work don't always seem to be happy when someone would take time off for family.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think we got to do about it? Marilyn, what should we do about it?
I don't have an answer.
No. Claire?
Well, that is something that I think is discussed a lot when you actually have states passing these bills. And also, I should note that FMLA only applies to companies with 50 or more employees, and you have to be a full-time salaried employee and have worked there for over a year to even qualify for the unpaid leave, because when they were passing that, that was part of the reason, is people were saying, well, if we only have five employees and one of them is out, you know, what are we supposed to do about that? Which I think is a legitimate concern. But also, if you have five employees and one of them gets pregnant or gets sick, I mean, what if one of them has a real illness that keeps them out of work for a while? That's something that companies have to deal with anyway. And oftentimes, when possible, they tend to shift the work around to other coworkers, or if depending on what the job actually is, sometimes you can put it off for a while and delay working on something for a few months. That doesn't work for everyone. But companies have to sort of work with employee absences anyway. So I think saying that it is hard is not necessarily a reason to not address this problem.
And just to give us a little more information, that woman, Kathy, who called in earlier about getting a year off of work from AT&T, wanted to say that that was unpaid leave. So she got a year, but it was unpaid. It seemed too good to be true, didn't it? Some things do.
I knew there was something.
Yeah, right, me too. Thanks, Marilyn, very much for your call. Kristen in Eau Claire, hi.
Hi. I am a reservist in the U.S. Army, and I have a 16-month-old. And 6 months after the birth of my son, I was expected to be able to pass the physical fitness test and meet weight standards prior to pregnancy. And so I was wondering, as a military mom, I honestly don't know, but what are maternity laws for women in the military, or would any of this legislation pertain to them? Or has Obama moved forward, you know, as the commander in chief to make any changes for women in the military as well to pass and meet those standards? Or to get time off as a mother in the military.
And what standards, tell me more about the standards you had to meet, Kristen? A weight standard or what?
Yep, so in the military you have to meet weight and physical fitness tests, and so 6 months after the birth, you're expected to meet those standards once again.
I see.
So you have to you have to work out and you have to lose that weight. And a breastfeeding mother, that is difficult. I was very fortunate to be in a very family-supportive unit, and so they did make some concessions for me. But I was just wondering, you know, if you were an active-duty mom, you know, how lenient the military is, maybe, or if any of that legislation would pertain to women in the military.
Right. Yeah, good question. Claire?
That's interesting. I don't know off the top of my head what the actual laws are right now for women in the military, although I do remember hearing last year that a bill had been introduced that would lengthen the number of weeks that women could take off for having a child from 6 to 12 weeks, but I'm not sure about the physical fitness test of that 6 months after the fact. But that's actually a really interesting point, you know, as women become more and more prevalent in the military, and they already are. That is something that I think we definitely need to address. I don't believe in what President Obama recently announced. There is anything in there that is specific to the military. He did say that he would make sure that all federal employees, so all federal employees, not just military, would get 6 weeks of leave that they could take for paid for a number of things, sick leave or for the birth of a child or something like that. And he's going to ask Congress to also grant them another 6 weeks on top of that. But in the military, you already get those 6 weeks. So I don't think that would have any effect on, you know, what is currently available.
Thank you so much, Kristen, for your call. Joan in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I think that a country can't get much more hypocrisy prone than we are, that we have associations called For the Family, in defense of the family, and yet we have these unequal kinds of restrictions on women, and especially the Catholic Church, for example, with its ban against contraception. How can you plan either to meet what you need at the business you work for their good, or like the one woman said, if you have 3 months off in the summer, maybe you can do that. It's just so hypocritical and misogynist that it's hard to believe how slowly, and when are we going to be at the brink of needing workers? How is our birth rate doing these days? Because maybe we'll be like Japan is, or some of the other countries, and all of a sudden we're going to need more people. And where are they?
Well, they're not being born, huh? What is our birth rate now? Do you know, Claire?
I don't know off the top of my head. I know that it is, you know, Europe has struggled with the declining birth rate in recent years, and
right.
I know the U.S. Is not that way because we have an influx of immigrants from other countries that tend to buoy it. But when you look at you know, people who are born and raised in this country, they are having kids later. I think they're having fewer kids as
mm-hmm.
well. I mean, it's always like, you know, 1.7 versus 1.9 children, or 2.1 versus 2.3, but it is dropping a little bit. And I do think that there is something to be said for the fact that a lot of young parents, or, you know, possible parents, young workers, can't afford to have kids like this. A lot of them have said that they
right.
just do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they put their maternity leave on their credit cards. You know,
oh.
your other option is not having children.
Oh.
It's getting harder and harder for them, I think.
That will stay with me, what you just said. Put your maternity leave on your credit card. Whoa.
Yeah, well, you asked about Letitia Cameron in Boston. That was one of the methods that she and her husband used. I mean, she didn't put her entire leave on her credit card because she does have a husband who worked. But she said they definitely racked up more credit card debt during that time than they did otherwise.
And KP looked up the birth rate. U.S. birth rate declines for sixth consecutive year. This is from the New York Times in 2014. It's 1.88 births per woman in 2012. Japan was 1.41 and China was 1.66. So that's where we are with being born. Claire, thank you so much for your very interesting and thorough article and for joining us this hour. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. And we thank Claire. The article is on our Facebook page if you would like to read. It's lengthy and it's thorough, and it looks at the world and Sweden and the U.S. and various states that offer, well, there are many of them, some form of paid leave. Claire Suddeth is a staff writer for Bloomberg Business. She was also a writer for Time magazine. She's worked at a number of other publications and WBUR in Boston as well. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this hour, and to KP as well for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. Just a reminder that tomorrow during this time period, we'll be looking at why this anti-vaccination movement got started and what can be done about it and what's happened with the presentation of communicable diseases we hadn't seen for years because of this anti-vaccine movement. So that's coming up tomorrow during this hour. Thanks for listening.